L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us here on the program for the next hour. We will take your thoughts on the Titans. All your questions for the Titans for PK at 615-737-1025. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Finely tuned craft beer for finely tuned fans. Tennessee Brew Works, official craft beer of offseason coverage here on 1025 The Game. So the big wave of free agency is over. The next major event is the NFL draft, which is still a month away. So a lot of time between now and the NFL draft. PK, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, this goes in waves here. You know, Jeremiah Love was all over it the last few weeks of people just connecting Jeremiah Love to the Titans, and that's still happening. And then the most recent wave of mock drafts, there's a lot of momentum for Sonny Styles to the Titans at number four. It's amazing to me how these change as often as they do leading up to the NFL draft when no real information has changed at this point.
Yeah, people, I guess, just changing up. I mean, historically, Sonny Styles would be a giant departure for the Titans, who have not spent on off-the-ball linebackers resources or money. Randall Godfrey, David Thornton, Keith Bullock, yep, too. But the outside of those three guys, and specifically, I mean, David Thornton was a long time ago. Since then, mid-round draft picks, the best one they had, Ernest Jones, they couldn't get rid of quick enough. And he is a really good player. Everybody had questions about his balky knee, but that didn't stop him from helping Seattle win a Super Bowl. And he was a great leadership guy, too. So, I mean, I can't help but think of Sonny Styles as a luxury. Now, he could come here and be a great player for 10 years. But again, you know, I quoted a guy, a really good personnel guy, in a story I wrote recently about Jeremiah Love, that with these premium picks, you want guys who affect the quarterback one way or the other, either defensively or offensively. And he's not talking about a running back. He's talking about receivers or protectors, or people who defend those receivers or go get the quarterback. I think the running back would be a touch more effective to the quarterback than an off-the-ball linebacker would be. So, to me, Sonny Styles would be a kind of capstone piece after you've got some of those other things in order, and the Titans certainly don't. And then if you're a team like that, you know, you're probably not drafting in the top five.
Yeah.
I look at a Styles and a Love kind of the same way. And I mean, I think, you know, it's always good. Like, the history lessons, those are always great. The context is good. But obviously, you know, different front offices, different philosophies. I mean, we know that Robert Saleh has made his career on those Niners defenses, and they have been made by Fred Warner, right? I mean, like, you would start with him, or at least he'd be on that top line along with, you know, when they had it going with Bosa and everything. But I look at those two the same way. It's like, if you're going to do that with either one of them, Love or Styles, then we better be talking about Fred Warner or whoever you want to throw out there as off-ball linebacker that you think is great, Luke Kuechly, whatever. Yeah. And if they get Jeremiah Love, then we better be talking about one of the top skill position stars in the NFL, right? Like, if not, and there's an edge available, you know, then to me, like, that's the choice. But I think, to Robbie's point on these mock drafts, it just seems like there's a lot of people now thinking like edge at 2-3.
There's been, I mean, this is really the story of the top 10 of this draft, is the people that we're talking, and we haven't looked at the offensive linemen that closely because we don't see that happening here. But I don't you know, there's no Joe Alt in this draft. And, you know, there's no perfect edge either. And so the imperfections or the holes in the guys at the traditional positions versus the quality of Jeremiah Love or Sonny Styles at the lesser value positions, it is going to be very interesting to see how those things play out together. I've got a tweet in front of me that I bookmarked, Marcus Mosher. There have been 29 off-ball linebackers drafted in round one since 2009. And from his research, he's come up with only four of 29 signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. Luke Kuechly, Dante Hightower, Leighton Vander Esch, and Brian Cushing. I mean, that seems unfathomable. I'm thinking about Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen didn't re-sign in Baltimore. Kuechly, Hightower, Vander Esch, Cushing, all excellent players. But if you're getting a re-sign rate of 4 for 29 out of top 10 off-the-ball linebackers or first-round off-the-ball linebackers, I mean, your guy absolutely has to be a two-contract guy.
Right, and you know,
yeah.
And, you know,
now,
Queen
one of those is
Steelers.
A Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Queen he got went paid to for the Steelers.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean that's a scary thing there. Now you have to allow that your guy's going to be an exception and everything. And I mean, Styles is being talked of. You know, I don't know about Kuechly level, but certainly as good or better than a Hightower, a Vander Esch, or a Cushing. But that's. That's a note that makes me wary. I don't know about you guys.
Well, here's the we've talked about ad nauseum at this point. You know, if David Bailey's there, if Arvell Reese is there, that's the direction I'd like to see the Titans go because of, you know, the lack of attention that they've paid to that spot specifically in the draft high up. So we've talked about that. The one thing philosophically that I don't like so far about how this offseason has played out, and if they took another player on defense in the first round, it would just add to this. I don't love leaving room for built-in excuses for quarterbacks, right? So what I mean by that is, you know, let's say Cam Ward goes out there this year and he doesn't make the sort of progress that people want him to make in year two. Well, we're going to immediately start having conversations about, well, they changed the coach in his first year, and in the first offseason where he was the quarterback heading into year two, they did all these stuff on the defensive side of the ball, and then they spent a ton of money on the defensive side of the ball, and then they drafted a defensive player with their first-round pick, and they just didn't give him any help. And I like, as much as possible, when you're trying to evaluate a quarterback, I like eliminating excuses. And there will be plenty of excuses that are available, and maybe even valid, if Ward doesn't take a big step in year two, if that's the route they go.
Well, I will say this, and on the podcast I do with Braden Gall, a football show on Mondays, we did a PFF draft. We didn't allow ourselves to trade. And we took Jeremiah Love. And then I felt like it kind of dictated the whole rest of the draft to us, you know, based on what else happened. You got to 35, you absolutely had to take an edge rusher.
Right.
Then you got to the third round, and you absolutely had to take a wide receiver. It made me uncomfortable. Now, you know, this is one mock draft, and we're not inside the Titans' heads and all of that. But based on the remaining needs, it felt like because you went off the board, not off the board, but because you took Love, then a lot of things felt forced yep. after that, and your flexibility kind of disappeared. I think the Titans absolutely need a running back, but I look at Jadarian Price as probably a little expensive still. But there are other guys, and I'm not pretending. Listen, I never sell myself as a scout or a draftnik. This is not my lane. But, you know, from the reading I've done, a guy like Mike Washington or Emmett Johnson or Nick Singleton, these are guys I'm looking, you know, consensus big board just to get a slight range. Mike Washington's at 65, Emmett Johnson 112, Nick Singleton 124. Strike me as guys who could come in and play with Tony Pollard, at a, you know, 1A, 1B kind of level ahead of Spears, and they could be fine. And that's what I would like to see them do if they don't take Jeremiah Love. Now, I wouldn't be dissatisfied if they take Love, because to me, if they take Love, that's saying this guy's more of a sure thing than these other people.
Yep.
But I do understand the positional value thing and the contract implications of it with the fifth-year option and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bears got Kyle Monongai from Rutgers, 233rd pick, yeah. Seventh round. Really good.
No, really good.
By the way, I guess there probably aren't as many examples, but have you done that same hit rate thing on running backs?
What do you mean?
Well, you just went through the first round off ball linebackers. You know, I'm trying to think about it.
Yeah,
the problem is there aren't that many first round running backs. And look, some of them have been, I mean, like Jahmyr Gibbs, I question that. Okay. Well, if that's, and they're not the same kind of player, but I'm just saying, if that's what you're getting, then I have no complaints. But I agree. Like, it to me, it's like you have to be talking about certainly one of the top three, four backs in the league over years, and also really one of the best weapons in the league.
And he's an incredible athlete. He's an excellent pass catcher. I think he's going to be a good back, maybe a great back. But here's the other thing. Nick Suss was the first to point this out, and then I built on it. Nick Suss pointed out that in the last 20 Super Bowls, there has been one top five rusher whose team won. The Eagles, Saquon Barkley, 2 years ago. I picked up on that and looked. In the last 20 Super Bowls, there's been one top five rushing offense. And that's been Saquon Barkley's Eagles 2 years ago. Okay, now you go further. The first running back selected in that 20-year span, on average, has been 17.6. And that's dropped two spots in the last 10 years. So the first 10 years, it was 16.6. The last 10 years, it's been 18.6. Twice in the last 4 years, the first back chosen didn't hear his name called until the second round. And Borgonzi and Brinker, this is in my Jeremiah Love piece that posted Monday, grew up working for teams in 28 combined years. The Chiefs and the Packers, while they were working for them, took a first-round running back once, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
By the way, those are great stats. Really quick, let me add to that. Both of those franchises have done a great job of signing free agent backs, Like they've done a great job of getting backs on their second stop and getting major production from
them. And of drafting late. Aaron Jones.
Fifth-round
pick. Isaiah Pacheco, seventh-round pick.
Yeah, the Edwards-Helaire one didn't work out, and that's 32nd overall, but that one wasn't very good. So there's that to factor
in. The one big swing. Now, they haven't been in position and all of that, but that's 28 years. It's been
a
pretty deliberate approach by their two teams. So if they do this, it's a big departure from how they've been bred, so to speak, as evaluators.
A lot more coming with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. We welcome your questions at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Downriver.
Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025 The Game. I was so excited this song was on that I muted myself.
What's the area called, South Detroit?
Born and raised downriver.
Just imagine how modern music would have changed if they sang Downriver.
Downriver.
We probably would have lost the Cold War.
No idea where he was talking about. Downriver could be a lot of places around this country.
I mean, I've been on some of those, what are they called? The pedal taverns.
Yeah.
And
I bet you have.
Well, it used to be a sponsored thing when we had our show. And
pedal faster.
We would be singing. And that was one of the featured songs, and I just think lyrically it would have been disjointed.
Born and raised down the river. Yeah, it would have confused people. Yeah.
Boy, your falsetto is really
something.
You need to share that more often.
I agree.
Everyone, please send in other songs with geographical mentions that Rex Road could serenade us with.
That'd be good. We got a lot of people.
Change the locations.
Texting in like screenshots of.
Down by the river, I shot my baby. There's one.
Clip it. Google Maps of West Nashville. Google Maps screenshots of South Nashville. There's a lot of stuff going on over the place on the text line. Been a busy day on the text line.
None of you have said South Nashville. You're all lying.
Justin from Greenbrier says, isn't there an argument to be made that the Titans / Oilers being a more successful organization or have been a more successful organization when they've had that perennial back? Eddie George was drafted the year after Steve McNair. What do we see could be the combo with Ward and Love? Yes, I mean, we've gone through this. They've had Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry. You want to go far back in the day?
Earl Campbell.
A lot of, I mean, I'm not making a huge, like, I don't really still know who I like or would take. I know that's unforgivable to not have a strong stance on that.
Yeah.
But a lot of, like, back-to-back number ones or ones and twos, not that the Titans have that, but one and four, a lot of teams go quarterback and pass rusher.
Yeah.
In their pairing.
They do. And look, the Titans, you know, everybody brings up the McNair-George combo. Like, I'd also like to remind people, like, as great as that was, it's also 30 years ago at this point. I mean, the game is just different than it was then. I mean, you just don't see that style of football being played all that much anymore.
Also, well, when that team got thrown over the top, it was Javon Kearse that threw it over the top.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And also, you know, I do think people, of course, the last time the Titans were good, their best player was a running back too, right? I mean, I'm not saying there's no place. I would argue that even though really it was Jalen Hurts who excelled in the Super Bowl, I would argue that the addition of Saquon Barkley is what, because he was incredible that particular year for the Eagles, and he put them over the top, and he changed things. What was already a loaded roster, you know, he pushed it over the top.
But again, Isaiah Pacheco put the Chiefs over the top?
Well, no, he's not that good. But also, yeah, and the point with Barkley is there's another example of he did that for a team that was his second team. You know, and that's the thing. Love needs to be like one of the great players in the league if you take him at four. So, PK, I do have a question for you on this, and we may have discussed it, but whatever. Let's repeat it. So, obviously, to me, obviously, there were some people in Indy who came away, and I would guess somewhere in the Titans universe, getting the feeling that the Titans were very high on Jeremiah Love. As we know, there's misinformation. We also know that last year there was a lot of buzz about Cam Ward and the Titans, and it turned out to be exactly what they did. So, my question for you is, I know you've already said, like, we're not in their heads, but, like, do you think there's any chance it's misinformation?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the chief person that came out of there with that was Matthew Berry, who's not the person I'm going to for it. Adam Schefter's been scoffing at it lately. Now, you know, Schefter's not my chief draft person either, but I'll take Schefter over Berry in this circumstance. And I do think if somebody jumped up ahead of the Titans and took Love, who's it going to keep free for you? Reese or Bailey, probably. It's not an unfavorable situation in my eyes.
So real quick, intentional misinformation or Matthew Berry just went goofball on this?
I think if you are I think conceivably intentional information. I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but I don't.
No, but that happens.
If they want that, you know, if they don't want Love, now that's an early decision on that. But look, if they like Love the way that some people have said it, why would they let that out? They're not letting that out. Borgonzi, let me tell you, has not said a word. Has not returned a text on you know, minor stuff. He is in complete lockdown. So if he or somebody
just
over
hate your guts, but yeah,
if he or somebody over there is talking to people about them liking Love, I would think it's with purpose, and I would think the purpose isn't to advertise who they like and want to draft. I mean, that's not a very smart strategy, right? So let's dig into that. I mean, if they in fact like Love and are talking about liking Love, that's pretty dumb. I mean, that gives that that's not how does that serve you? It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't serve you at all.
So, but okay, but real quick though, I think this is a good point to like to point out, and you know this well. Sometimes it's not Borgonzi, but it's someone else in the organization who had a few too many pops one night, who right at a spot indie and starts talking about that stuff, right? Like that's I think how a lot of times it happens.
Okay, so one guy in Indy had a few too pops last night and said one thing to one person. That's conceivable. But where is it all coming from now? Is that being picked up by all these other people who are poaching it? Because the way all of this reads would have you believe that there's pretty widespread Titans insider talk to Titans, to draft Knicks and insiders that the Titans are into Love. I can't believe they're talking on that scale.
Well, and of course, you know, somebody's asking about the Ward stuff last year and that panned out. Well, the difference is you got the number one pick. No one's jumping.
Number one pick and a desperate need for a quarterback.
Right. It's not the same situation.
For sure. Because, you are in command at that point.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. I think it was Jabari on the YouTube chat throwing it out there of the top edge rushers in the game. Who are they, and what are the records of those teams? Well, number one, I don't think there's any question. It's Myles Garrett. Record not very good there in Cleveland. To me, there's a pretty clear number two when he's healthy. That'd be Micah Parsons. Their record in Green Bay was good, especially with him this year. And then number three is debatable. I mean, you can go through a bunch of other guys, whether it's, you know, Danielle Hunter or Aiden Hutchinson or Nick Bonito or Max Crosby or whoever. But it is an interesting point to bring up. Like, do the top edge rushers in the league directly correlate to winning?
I think the point is you need a lot of good players at a lot of positions.
Yeah,
yeah. But I would answer that more up right. I've been looking at that. I think saying a singular back, a back is a singular guy. A pass rusher is part of a unit.
Yeah.
So how do you rush the passer? And we've seen very distinctly pass rushers and rushing the passer in the last couple Super Bowls has been a definitive thing. Tom Brady's Bucs rushed the passer incredibly well. Seattle just rushed the passer incredibly well. That's trending in a very good direction.
Those are the superpowers of both of those teams, truly.
Right.
In winning a championship.
Now, Kenneth Walker was just an MVP, so you can't be dismissive of that. But he didn't have an outrageously good running back game. He was the best feature of a thing. And you can't name a defensive unit MVP of the Super Bowl. That's a deficiency there. So you have to have a 3-sack game to win a defensive MVP in the Super Bowl. We haven't seen one in a billion years. But I would say having a great pass rush unit is a route to success, championship success, and you can't pin that on one guy. You pin a piece of that. And that's what the Titans are building here with all of these additions, and I think we all agree they need one piece to cap it. Now, is that piece coming at number four? We don't know. But there are some attractive options there. And I think if they love one of them, I think he's still the most likely pick there.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I thought you were – sorry, I was just responding to Jabari on the YouTube chat, who, again, going back and forth on this – And pointing out you also don't want to sack Merchant, you know, Myles True. Garrett being out of position versus Tony Pollard. But, first of all, everybody wants Myles Garrett. Everybody should want Myles Garrett. And I think sometimes players, you don't want to – like, if you're a player on a team that bad and the season's that far into terribleness.
He's chasing and you're the also sack record at that point.
You're also chasing a record. Like, I have a little more understanding for that.
You
right?
would want Myles Garrett over the best running back in the league, unquestionably.
Yes.
You would want Myles Garrett over virtually anybody but the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yes.
Here's a question in the text line, which actually I think is I like the way they're looking at this, and I would ask you guys, I need to go back and compare pre-draft stuff, but for example, okay, Reese and Bailey compared to Will Anderson coming out, right? I would tend to think that Will Anderson was a touch ahead of them as a prospect. I don't know that it's like an overwhelming difference, though.
I don't think it is. Look, depending on where you look and who you talk to, I mean, people are talking about, you know, Micah Parsons' physical comparisons to Arvel Reese. So, yeah. I think you get all over the map with that stuff. But, no, like, I don't think Will Anderson, in terms of the prospect that he was just like head and shoulders above both of these guys, depending on where you look.
No, I think there were some questions about Will Anderson coming out.
There
it's
were.
Hard now, yes. having seen Will Anderson be NFL Will Anderson, to strip that away and go back to the beginning. That's why.
But that's the point. Like, you go back to them, there were questions, and it doesn't mean that these guys are going to answer them the same way he did. But it's not like, I think the texter kind of looked at it like, you know, he was a sure thing, no question. And it's not true. I think these guys are comparable as prospects.
I tend to agree. I mean, the Bain arms question is a real thing. But the Bain production in college answer is a real thing also.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that part of it's interesting too, because I personally have kind of dismissed that part of being a possibility at four. The arms thing does scare me. Like. But I mean, the tape is what the tape is there. So, people are like, you got a lot of questions. I'll combine them into one on the text line about the idea of trading back. You would have to tell me who's moving up. Like, is somebody moving up for Jeremiah Love? Because I understand, like, if Love fell in the draft to, like, 7 or 8, somebody taking him, I don't know that I can see somebody jumping up to go get him when you're talking about a running back.
I mean,
and paying the premium that would cost.
I mean, if somebody's coming up to get him and you're going to 8 or 9, then I think Carnell Tate becomes in the conversation. And then again, we're talking about deficiency.
Then Bain needs to be in it too.
Yeah. But then again, you're talking about a deficiency. I really like Carnell Tate, but is he a clear-cut number one wide receiver for you? Maybe he is. Maybe he is, but he doesn't have that run away from people speed. And I want that. I mean, I just want him to have a guy who's Carnell Tate with the run away from people speed.
Yep.
And so I'd be a little bit disappointed until I saw the guy out there and maybe saw him doing those things despite the measurable stuff. You know, and then, you know, if you trade down there and you wind up with a Styles or, I mean, if you're coming up, who are you coming up for? Love. I think if you're sitting at 4 and Bailey and Reese are both gone, then if you take Love, I don't have any issue with it, really.
I mean, I guess the only thing I could see, Joe, and I don't think this is going to happen, because I think if it were to happen, it would probably be more likely to happen at 5 with the Giants. But if somebody throughout this process gets scared that Cleveland's going to go off the rails and take Simpson, right? You know, when their quarterback, you know, we talked yesterday about, you know, Simpson's got all this momentum with all these NFL people right now. If somebody gets scared that Cleveland at number 6 is going to go off the reservation and take Simpson, does somebody try to move up? But if they did that, Joe, they'd probably do it at 5 with the Giants.
Exactly. Yeah. And there, I mean, I guess it's still possible. I mean, is it possible that anybody ahead of the Titans would covet Simpson?
Well,
or
Arizona's got
Arizona
no
might.
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, the Jets might, but the Jets also have another first round pick.
I'm surprised this Simpson stuff's taken so long. And it's always funny to me, like Orlovsky comes out now very strongly for Simpson and gets just absolutely bashed for it. And I've said this time and time again, we come out, maybe not my side of the media, but draft media comes out, creates a list, and then anybody that diverges from the list, which is a media-created list, gets bashed for diverging from the damn list. And then teams that draft divergent from the list get bashed for diverging from the list. And it's the teams. Look, they make mistakes too. But I'd much prefer to know the pick a middling team's list.
Like the Cardinals.
The Cardinals' list than our list.
I agree. And look, I don't think it's that hot of a I mean, I've talked about this weeks ago, long before, you know, this national thing was created. Like, I don't think it's a hot take that, I mean, I think Simpson's going to have a better NFL career than Mendoza's going to have. Like, I think that's going to be what it is. So what I'm saying is, it's not going to surprise me at all if Ty Simpson goes way higher than people are thinking he's going to, depending on where you look for these mock drafts.
But we're taking an awful long time to catch up to that. Usually we catch up to it, and usually quarterbacks just gravity pulls them to the top.
I mean, the day of Malik Willis' draft, the day of, I'll never forget this, the day of that draft, Joe, we were talking about a mock draft that had him going number two, I think, to Detroit that day.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really interesting. First of all the stuff about Simpson, I mean, I tend to agree. I would probably take him over Mendoza. I understand, like, if the Raiders love Mendoza, that's great. They're on the sideline. You know, Mark Davis looking like a goofball on the sideline, losing his mind, watching him win a championship. You get infatuated. And I think he's a good prospect. But, yeah, the idea that he's this, oh, my God, how could you possibly think anybody else could be better? I think there could be multiple QBs better than him in this. And, you know, so much of it is, first of all, if he goes to the Raiders, then I immediately like his chances less of being successful because he's with the freaking Raiders, you know? But, yeah, I think I would probably take Ty Simpson over from Fernando Mendoza. And you're right. It's like we get these. It's funny, though, because it's like, speaking of the Raiders, they were one of those teams that, like, when Mayock was there, they did diverge tremendously from what anybody else thought. And then they were totally wrong, too, you know?
Cleveland Farrell. So,
yeah. So, it is. It's amazing how, I mean, Drew Aller, Cade Klubnik, we've talked about this week. It's like at different times, media-created lists have put them as the top or second or third pick in the whole draft. Not long ago, like when the season was starting. Arch Manning was going to be this, oh, my God, everybody's going to mortgage their entire future for him. I mean, he might be good. We'll see. It's the certainty people speak with about all these things can be just infuriating.
On Joe Rexroad's board, compare Josh Dobbs, who you had worthy of the 11th pick in the draft that year, to Ty Simpson.
Josh, are you trying to say Hendon Hooker?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You probably love Josh Dobbs.
Dobbs still in the league.
Hendon Hooker, who you had as 11th worthy that year versus Ty Simpson now.
Peyton Manning.
I would give Simpson the edge. I would have at that point too. Because there was a built-in question with Hooker just about, you know, about translation of the system. That's always going to be a thing. Like, we have to see a quarterback from that system ever, like, be great in the NFL. And as time goes on and they continue to not be, then the question prevails. But yeah, man, you can say whatever you want. Hendon Hooker was accurate. He was a great leader. He was a great athlete. And, I mean, you know, I just talked about the infatuation with Fernando Mendoza from the sideline that the Raiders have and like so many people in the NFL have, right? Well, if you watch Hendon Hooker that day against Alabama in Neyland Stadium as I did, you would have thought, yeah, that guy might be a pretty good on Sunday someday. It happens.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Final segment of the day with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. People are talking about Carnell Tate. We got one person that still loves Carnell Tate, wants to take Carnell Tate at number four.
He will run tomorrow, I believe.
Another person says, Paul, you're better than that. Tate has plenty of game speed. Did you watch him play? He rarely got caught from behind. The 40 time is the most overrated measurement. If you take the top 30, 40 wide receivers or wide receiver 40 times of all time, one of those has eclipsed a 1,000-yard season. We'll see. I mean, the question is not if Carnell Tate is a good player. Is he a great player? Because you need to be taking a great player.
I'm not looking at his 40 time. I'm reading people who are talking to scouts who are saying he doesn't have that element to his game.
Yeah,
and really this is a someone lamented this earlier, and I kind of felt bad for him. But I mean, it's a tough year for the Titans to have this be the receiver draft, right? Like we are definitely in an era of some really good receiver drafts, and of course next year is going to be people falling all over themselves to draft Jeremiah Smith.
Yep.
But I'll say it again: if I'm taking a receiver in this high in this draft, it's Mekhi Lemon. Someone's going to end up to me with a steal there. I think Carnell Tate is a good prospect, and gosh, it's hard to doubt Ohio State prospects. I mean, I didn't think Jackson Smith and Jigba would be what he's become either. It's pretty consistent excellence, but I have watched him. I have watched his game speed, and maybe it's hard for him. We've talked about this, but maybe it is tough because you're always being compared to the dude across the field from you on your own team. But also, like, defenses compared them too, and there's no question, there's no question who they thought was better. I think he's going to be a good player, but to me, that's like he's like a middle of the first round kind of player.
Yeah, and they just need a clear top guy who's going to dictate coverages. Do you look at him and think he's doing that? I
struggle with it.
I feel mixed about it. He could, but it's a somewhat hopeful pick to me. And he's not the pick at 4.
No.
At 8 or 9.
Right. That goes back to if there's a trade back there. And again, people keep asking about the trade back, which I get it. Like, I get the idea of the trade back. I just don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah. And who they'd be coming up for is Love or Styles. And, you know, again, somebody could easily fall in love with Love or Styles, but I think around the league there's the positional value thing. And so not only are you taking the positional value guy at 4, but then you're giving up resources to go get him. It's a very odd draft in this way, shape, or form. And I know a lot of people are just saying, well, screw all that. Go get the best player. Which, you know, maybe that's the thing to do. Or just take them at 4. And they may well wind up doing that, particularly how the board falls. They don't have control of a lot of it. So, Tommy, you know, we haven't talked enough about really the Jets and the Cards.
Yeah.
Tommy says, I want Styles. Give me being the best franchise of running backs hasn't gotten us a Lombardi. Give me a potential Fred Warner-esque backer. But is he really Fred Warner-esque? That's my question. And that's the thing, too. Some people – I've seen some people who have watched all his film, talked to the scouts, you know, say, you know, if you really watch Ohio State, like, the difference maker was Reese for them, you know.
Well, and by the way, like, being the best franchise of running backs, like, you know, do you think if you turn into the best franchise of middle linebackers that the Lombardis are going to be rolling in after that?
That's true. It's not like the Niners have any. They've gotten close.
But they need, you know.
In this era.
Pieces.
Yeah.
Now, these guys have to be better pieces than, you know, John Franklin Myers is the best guy they added. This guy needs to be better than John Franklin Myers at what he does. You know, all of these guys should be that, but you're projecting.
I look forward to being in South Nashville later today. PK,
I look forward
so much to being with us.
I look forward to being south of South Nashville.
Mm.
How about that, Joe?
I'll be dining in East Chicago tonight.
Good for you. Hey.
Dining in the lake, huh?
I was glad that they sent you to a place where you got the best game of the tournament. That was impressive. I hope your streak continues. And your work was featured prominently, and I got to read it and everything. It was terrific. Keep it up. Keep it up, man.
Well, thanks, Paul, and thanks for, you know, ripping me early. Remember when you thought Condridge Holloway was going to be great in the NFL?
Weren't you pooping your pants? Wasn't that Gerald Ford era?
Yes, that pretty much was. Same time.
I was saying I ran as Gerald Ford in second grade. We had an election. And I won.
Attaboy.
Did you?
Nice job.
How was your baldness at that point? How was your baldness at that point?
Full head hair.
Yeah, oh, I had a full head of hair. I was a terrific candidate. I beat Jimmy Carter handily. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your lock.
That does it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
I poop myself a lot.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.